I'm Joanne Nesty. Every night at this time, Chris takes a look with you at life in and around New England, and we are in Cape Cod Life magazine, and this is their cover story. It's called The Watch List for 2024. These are people and places that they think are radar worthy. Our watch list identifies and recognizes some of the rising stars on Cape Cod, the people who are reimagining and changing things for the better in their industries, who are perhaps building a brand, but also building a dream. These movers and shakers are from all paths of life, whether it's food and beverage, hospitality, music, or the nonprofit sector. They all share something in common, resiliency and determination that has helped them persevere, through whatever challenges might have stood in their way. Whether a wash ashore or a born and raised Cape Codder, these professionals share a passion for their crafts and a desire to extend their knowledge and experience with others in the hope that it ignites a similar spirit. Let's start with Brian Barbieri from EOS Hospitality. Brian Barbieri is Senior Vice President of Public Relations and Partnerships at EOS and understands that the importance of a memorable Cape Cod vacation, since he grew up vacationing with his family at their South Yarmouth, Massachusetts cottage, located just a beach stone's throw away from the iconic Red Jacket Resorts that were acquired by EOS in late 2021. These properties, three of which will unveil a $40 million facelift this summer, were his childhood summer playground turned professional project that have elicited a full circle type moment in his life. When EOS first acquired the properties and we were touring the grounds, as they pointed out various pool areas, I might or might have not recalled memories of sneaking in there as a young adult, Barbieri says. Such dalliances are understandable, though, as four of the five properties that make up the Red Jacket Resort's portfolio are blessed with private beachfront proximity, pool areas, various accommodation options, and a variety of food and beverage outlets. How could any young man resist that kind of temptation? For decades, the resort has played a pivotal role in the generational experience of summers on Cape Cod. Parents who brought their young families have seen their children grow up and on occasion get married at these properties. And now as grandparents, they relive their memories as a new generation is introduced to the special experience that Red Jacket offers. For EOS Hospitality, the acquisition of the properties was a perfect addition to their world-class portfolio of unique and distinctive destinations. Our hospitality strategy identifies great properties, hotels and resorts that offer something very special in markets where demand exceeds supply, Barbieri says. And with a property like Red Jacket, we understand that their independence and destination-specific attraction are a large part of their identity. We strive not to interrupt that. Rather, we operate as a support system in the background to identify areas where we can deliver improvement. For Red Jacket, that improvement comes in what Barbieri calls a glow-up, a renovation that will be evident in the guest rooms, the public-facing spaces, the food and beverage outlets, and a refresh around the recreational areas with new pool and beach furniture. It's still the same brand that people have always loved, but now it's a new, modern, authentic take on each of those valued brands, he says. Within each of the brands, the individual identities align with careful and deliberate attention to certain demographic groups. Barbieri says, in addition to each of the resorts catering to different demographics, we also see a progression as you're able to grow and transition among the properties. For example, he says, if you're a young family or maybe early in your professional career, Riviera might be a good choice. If you have more disposable income or are looking for a hipper experience, Blue Water might be a great option. And if you're someone who is looking for more of an experience that's focused on luxury, or you're a family that wants a lot of amenities right on site, then the Red Jacket Beach Resort is perfect for you. Barbieri notes that in a high-demand area like Cape Cod, rates are often not that disparate across venues. So the distinction of the guest experience is paramount to choosing a property that not only meets but exceeds expectations. In addition to the three waterfront properties, the Red Jacket umbrella also includes the Blue Rock Resort, adjacent to Blue Rock Golf Course, rated as one of America's top 10 par threes, and another recent Cape Cod acquisition for EOS finds them at the helm of the legendary Wequesset Resort in Harwich, Massachusetts. Next, from Cape Cod Magazine's watch list of people and places on the Cape, there's this one on Patrick Ehart, Cape Cod Young Professionals. When he graduated from Babson College, Patrick Ehart had a choice to make: either head home to Cape Cod to work on his family business or try his hand in another industry. Wanting to experience life off Cape, he chose the latter, but it wasn't long before those family ties tugged at his heartstrings, and he realized the corporate world wasn't for him. The third generation to work in his family business, which is Cape Cod Commercial Linen Service, Ehart headed back over the bridge and has been working alongside his dad since 2011. Like many young people on the Cape, Ehart felt the need to make professional connections, to network and meet like-minded, similarly aged individuals who were on a comparable path. He says, "I was living on the Cape full-time and year-round, and in my day-to-day, I didn't interact very much with people in my age bracket. I had learned of Cape Cod Young Professionals, CCYP, through their back-to-business bash that was held at the Cape Cod Gateway Airport, and I thought it seemed like a great organization to get involved with. I started attending events, and I met so many great people, I decided to apply to be a part of the board of directors." That was a little over 5 years ago, and Ehart has seen tremendous growth, not just on Cape Cod, but within the powerhouse organization that is CCYP as well. For example, in just the past 2 years alone, CCYP has grown through various sponsorship and grant opportunities that have allowed them to expand their various programs. Ehart says one of the major programs launched recently is our Cape Women's Leadership Initiative. This initiative provides an opportunity for the Cape's on-the-rise female leaders to gain core leadership skills for professional growth and advancement, and to build a network of peers and mentors in a highly interactive and collaborative format with current women leaders in the region. Ehart, who has been the treasurer for the past 2 years, was recently named president. He will help oversee and continue the trajectory of the organization along with the current board of directors. He says, "We're really invigorated and excited about our mission. The future of Cape Cod is strong. We've seen how it's truly become a year-round destination where young professionals can live and work and grow their families. As with any community, there are challenges, and affordability and housing are major ones that we face here. Where CCYP can play a role is in our effort to get young people engaged in these conversations and to bridge the gap between what people are doing day-to-day and what people want to do in the future. One area we've been exploring is bringing in the next generation of Cape Codders and also ways to engage that age group." CCYP's Leadership and Professional Advancement Committee, launched 3 years ago, is just one of the organization's 10 active volunteer committees. In addition to the Women's Leadership Initiative, this committee has created a Communicating with Confidence workshop and will soon be launching a series of leadership mentoring dinners. With grant and sponsorship funding, CCYP has also developed small business resilience programming, a much-needed area on the Cape. It includes workshop and training opportunities, small business grant writing support, and one-on-one small and group technical assistance. The first of CCYP's three major annual events, the Shape the Cape Summit, will be held in April at the Emerald Resort in Hyannis, Massachusetts. Hundreds of business and nonprofit leaders, elected officials, local employers, and Cape Cod's young workforce are all invited for solutions-oriented sessions on the issues that matter most to the Cape Cod region. September will mark the 18th annual Back to Business Bash, the Cape's biggest networking event, touted as a Cape Cod food and drink extravaganza. It is a CCYP Don't Miss Out event. And then CCYP's annual community breakfast, held in November at the Wequesset Resort and Golf Club in Harwich is a time to come together and celebrate partnerships, recognize annual award recipients, and share updates on CCYP's initiatives. The saying essentially goes that if you don't get involved, you'll forfeit your place in the decision-making process, and that too is Patrick Ehart's strongest piece of advice for anyone looking to get involved with shaping what the future of Cape Cod will look like. We have lots of ways for people to get involved, from CCYP Coffee Connects before work to bigger events. Joining the organization presents so many incredible opportunities, from meeting various business leaders and government officials to meeting people just starting out in their careers. There's a full calendar at CapeCodYoungProfessionals.org. Next from the Cape Cod Magazine watch list, Karen Gardner of Community Health Center. There are certain topics of conversation that always leave themselves open to critique and criticism. The weather, the price of gasoline, groceries, challenges associated with navigating today's health care. And this last topic feels as though it's an especially difficult landscape to navigate, given the percentage of aging population that calls Cape Cod home. For the past few decades, residents matriculated within one primary system and often assume that options don't exist. In fact, options do, and in many cases, they offer a more thoughtful and examined delivery of service. That is the case when it comes to Community Healthcare of Cape Cod, CHC. Founded in 1998 by a group of dedicated providers who were committed to delivering free health services to uninsured Cape Cod residents, when Governor Mitt Romney led the nation in universal health care for Massachusetts, the mission of the organization shifted slightly. Now their proven delivery of health care could be delivered to a much larger segment of the population without the added challenge of operating solely on donations and fundraising. In those first 4 years, we operated as a free clinic providing care for the underserved, particularly those who didn't have health insurance, says Karen Gardner, who is the CEO of CHC. After health care reform, she says, we quickly realized our services were in demand because we had gained a reputation for quality providers. Gardner attributes much of the success of the practice that primarily serves the Upper Cape to a patient-centric model that partners patients with a team of providers, with a nurse at the core of the group, to facilitate with communication, coordination, and care delivery. In the beginning, Gardner says, we helped people gain access to medications and to specialty care. There was a care coordination effort, she recalls. All the things we find disjointed about healthcare now are what was going on then. Now that the organization benefits from federal licensure, it can sustainably deliver care and services to more than 25,000 individuals, and it receives upwards of 95% satisfaction surveys from patients. Gardner says the things consistently noted are multiple services under one roof, including primary care, dental, eye care, and specialty services, such as counseling and wellness providers. I often hear that patients and staff are on a first-name basis, since we deliver a team-based approach to care, Gardner says. Patients communicate with either a team nurse or a team medical assistant in addition to their provider. This approach has been termed medical home, which Gardner says has become an overused descriptor, yet in the case of CHC, it's entirely appropriate. Gardner and her family found their way to the Cape when she and her husband, a Falmouth native, followed up their military careers with a move that has anchored them for the past 22 years. Gardner's background in finance as well as healthcare administration made her a pivotal choice for the burgeoning organization. CHC, though, is a nonprofit 501c3 that still relies on donations and philanthropy to deliver what Gardner calls wraparound services, the items that aren't funded through insurance reimbursements. Those services include things like connecting food insecure individuals with resources, complex care, health management, and resources for those in need of housing solutions. Philanthropic funds are also used to scale the growth of the organization to meet the growing demand. In the age of innovation and discovery in the healthcare industry, the frustrations encountered while pursuing one's own optimal health shouldn't determine one's success or satisfaction. Thankfully, Community Healthcare of Cape Cod has implemented a proven model that not only meets but exceeds the challenges in pursuit of healthcare on Cape Cod. Next on Cape Cod Magazine's watch list is Bobby Jarvis, the Massachusetts Restaurant Association's Restaurateur of the Year. As singer-songwriter James Taylor wrote, the secret of life is enjoying the passage of time. And as restaurateur Bob Jarvis sits at the bar at Bucatino Restaurant and Wine Bar, one of his three restaurants, he reflects on doing exactly that. Jarvis's parents own the legendary Chart Room in Catawba, Massachusetts, where he spent countless hours growing up in the family business, a foodie before it was trendy. He not only learned the ropes, but also cultivated a love for well-prepared food and drink. Some time was spent, though, in other kitchens, stretching from Colorado to Nantucket, but ultimately Jarvis landed permanently back on Cape Cod, where he started a fresh pasta company called Cape Cod Pasta, operating it out of a basement in a Falmouth restaurant. "I would run that business during the day and work at the Chart Room at night," Jarvis recalls. However, when the popular Falmouth Main Street eatery, the Quarter Deck, became available for sale, he jumped at the opportunity. That set in motion the purchase of two more restaurants, the Pilot House in Sandwich and Bucatino Restaurant and Wine Bar in North Falmouth, the latter being the aforementioned building where he ran his pasta company. Talk about full circle. The three restaurants, while each having a different profile, are woven together by a common thread, and that is Jarvis's expectation of consistency in the high-quality dishes, the creative drinks, and the attention to great customer service. Consistency and being passionate is what make us stand out, and it keeps people coming back, he says. A business has to be consistent, and it's the hardest thing to do. I don't think the public really understands what that takes. I want it to be the same experience if you come in on a Saturday or a Tuesday. And just having that friendly, open-door vibe is something we strive for. We want it to be lively, but intimate. The recipe for success is clearly working at all three locations, as Jarvis was nominated and recently won the Distinguished Restaurateur of the Year Award from the Massachusetts Restaurant Association. He is quick to say, however, that he doesn't feel the honor is his alone. "It's not a one-man show," he says. "It takes an army to get this done, so I feel as though I took the award for the whole team." The tight-knit family mindset is evident in each venue, as all four of his children, as well as his wife Jen, can be found working in various capacities. The restaurant scene on Cape Cod in the summer isn't for the faint of heart, but Jarvis smiles and says they all wanted to do it, and they all work together. He also tells the story of his oldest son, Lucas, who expressed an interest in not just working at, but in managing Bucatino after he graduated from college. After a week of double shifts and an overall grueling schedule, the elder Jarvis thought for sure that Lucas would be handing in his apron. But he says, instead, he told me he loved it. I knew it was his thing. With a great management team in place, renovations and upgrades being done at each location, a spacious outdoor bar and a renovated kitchen at Bucatino to accommodate larger functions and events, and some new flooring at the Pilot House, Jarvis was ready to tackle another busy summer season. "We are really, really blessed to have so many people who've stayed with us," he says. The head chef, Dan DeLancey, oversees the restaurant's menus and views his role as one that mirrors Jarvis's. "We're always working together and with the other chefs at all three places to come up with some new ideas and drive creativity into what we're offering. We're constantly trying to elevate the things we're doing to gain new customers." Being in the food and beverage industry since 1982, Bobby Jarvis has ridden the waves and moved along with the ebbs and flows of a difficult industry. As he puts it, "I was thinking about it recently, the way it's been a long time, but I'm still so inspired by it. I love seeing all the energy in the industry, working with kitchen staff, showing a little technique, and seeing someone light up at how it helps, just creating a family here and getting feedback from customers." Next from the watch list is John McCarthy of Pelham Hospitality. If enthusiasm is contagious, you'll surely catch it from John McCarthy. He's the managing partner at Pelham Hospitality in Dennisport and the face of the world-class facility, and aptly so, as he's been involved with the property since 1997, when his father, Bob McCarthy, saw its potential and purchased what was then a 33-room inn. In those days, the younger McCarthy was a college student, returning to his family's summer home in Dennis to lend a hand in whatever capacity was needed at the inn, raking the beach, cleaning the pool, helping to cook breakfast, answering the phone, you name it, and McCarthy would hustle to get it done. Fast forward 27 years, and he's still hustling around Pelham House these days. But he's got more ground to cover as it's grown from that 33-room inn to an 8,000-square-foot stunning and sophisticated coastal venue. McCarthy reflects on those early days at Pelham House. The rooms were dated, he says, very old Cape Cod, with carpeting and no air conditioning. We had a bag of sticks to hold up the windows. The father-son duo, along with one partner who was the elder McCarthy's friend, ran the waterfront location in a very cruise-control type of manner for several years, making small-scale repairs and upgrades when they could afford to, and booking smaller tented weddings on the grassy area next to the hotel, and handling the majority of the catering themselves. But ultimately, Bob McCarthy's partner decided to move on, and that left him with no other choice other than to sell the hotel to a development group. Both he and John were asked to stay on board to assist with the new concept, which would be marketed as quarter-share condominiums. With the new influx of funds, the rooms were soon renovated, and while it wasn't a complete makeover, it was certainly better. McCarthy recalls it wasn't a bad idea. In theory, you could have your slice of Cape Cod on the water as a quarter share. But as they started selling, it became evident that it could be tricky, because eventually you wind up with maybe 130 quarter share holders, all having a voice in the way the business should look. Still, the McCarthys forged on, for though the hotel was maintaining a profit, they had the gnawing feeling that the idyllic property that overlooks Nantucket Sound had untapped potential yet to be revealed. At this juncture, the senior McCarthy tragically developed a vascular dementia and began to steadily decline, thus putting the job of managing the Pelham solely in John McCarthy's hands, along with the inevitable reality that his father, who had always been the one holding court, would soon be gone. "It's just me," John McCarthy says. "I'm dealing with the day-to-day. The developers were starting to look to sell, so there were different groups coming in to tour, and I didn't know what my life was going to look like," he remembers wistfully. Enter Frank Hersey, neighbor of the Pelham Resort and longtime friend of Bob McCarthy. Hersey would pop in to socialize from time to time, get the inside scoop on all the current happenings in Dennis, and be entertained by his gregarious and dear friend Bob. That was really all that John McCarthy knew of his father's buddy until one afternoon, not long after his dad had passed away, Hersey and his son-in-law, Dennis Leary, a former stockbroker, came to visit and expressed an interest in developing the property. Looking back, McCarthy says, "I knew Frank, but I didn't think that it was real. We had never really talked about money or investing or anything like that. I didn't know his background, so I took it all with a grain of salt. But it was, in fact, a very real offer, and within months, Hersey, Leary, and McCarthy were in talks with the developers, meeting with the remaining quarter shareholders, and viewing renderings of what the future of the Pelham House could look like. Fast forward through the renovating and building of the property, and through the hospitality industry nightmare that was COVID-19, with cancellations and delays and restrictions and postponements and regulations, and the creation of a stellar management team who McCarthy lovingly says are all fighters like me, underdogs, to the present day, where Pelham House stands at the water's edge, an impressive first-class resort that is finally coming into its own and whose possibilities for creating lasting memories are endless. In the past 3 years, Pelham House has expanded to include additional nearby properties that, while each are unique, they've been crafted with the same unwavering dedication to creating effortless and memorable guest experiences. Pelham on Earl is a charming 27-room hotel nestled among the hydrangeas in West Harwich. Pelham on Main, also 27 rooms, is an exceptional coastal retreat close by in West Dennis. Both thoughtfully designed and with full access to the main Pelham House, these seaside boutique hotels are extensions of the welcoming, tailored experience that Pelham House is known for. Their latest venture, sure to hit the sweet spot, is called Pelham on the Rise, a scratch retail bakery where all the baked goods for the Pelham properties are created. McCarthy says, "I knew my dad had trained me so incredibly well, and I knew I had the energy and the personality to lead, but this little engine that could," he says, "is just amazing. I pinch myself every day that I get to come to the place that my dad chose and be surrounded by people who believe in this. That," he says, "is winning." Next from Cape Cod Magazine's Cape Cod Life Magazine's watch list is Sherry Pucknett. "I'm just a normal person," she says, "but I don't want to say that I'm not special because I do feel very special. By definition, the word normal means conforming to a standard, someone or something that is typical, common, or expected. Sherry Pucknett isn't any of those things. She is much more. A Wampanoag Indian born and raised in Mashpee, Pucknett is the 2023 recipient of the prestigious James Beard Award for Best Chef in the Northeast, hailing from her Charlestown, Rhode Island restaurant, Sly Fox Den 2, T-O-O. Often referred to as the Academy Awards of the food world, the James Beard Foundation, a nonprofit organization, awards excellence to those who are in the food and beverage industry, and Pucknett took home the hardware for her skill in creating indigenous coastal cuisine. Growing up in Mashpee, she was always surrounded by great cooks and experimental cooking. Her uncle Earl Mills Sr., also known as Chief Flying Eagle, was the owner and chef of the beloved Mashpee restaurant The Flume, currently Knockabout Brewery and Tap Room. Her grandmother, Delcina Hendricks, was a master pastry chef, and even later in life, her son's grandmother, a woman from Savannah, Georgia, taught her about Southern cooking. It was a different time back then, and growing up in Mashpee in the 60s and 70s didn't resemble the Mashpee of today. Pucknett says, "It was an amazing thing growing up there then. I didn't realize it at the time. Everything that my family taught me, both sides of my family are Wampanoags, we just all grew up learning about survival, not cooking per se. It was all about survival and eating well. We learned how to eat by the season, and whatever was at harvest, we foraged and hunted and fished. With the Susie Homemaker toy oven that her mother bought for her when she was 8 years old, Pucknett began her lifelong devotion to cooking, learning, and educating. Pucknett spent many years honing her craft and sharing her love of food in the catering business. She had a mobile catering license, a food truck, and was always kept busy with engagements for large groups, whether they were at schools, colleges, or traditional powwows, which aren't celebrations of Native American culture through dance, drumming, games, clothing, and of course, food. Pucknett had been living and working at the Mashantucket Pequot Museum in Connecticut, and for several years when she made the decision to try her hand at opening her own restaurant. Her first purchase was a building in Connecticut that, although it's in a perfect location, required a lot of work and additional funding. Her second was done by happenstance. The recipient of the James Beard Award, the feature of numerous articles, most notably Time Magazine, Sherry Pucknett has made her people and her hometown proud. And that's tonight's look at life in and around New England through Cape Cod Life magazine. I'm Joanne Nesting. Thank you for listening.